Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We are doing the Quranic studies class, and the name of today is called At-Tawwab. At-Tawwab. Today, inshallah, we're talking about the name of Allah, At-Tawwab. And what is Tawwab? Tawwab means it has meanings that we'll explain later. Okay. The first meaning is that the one who made repentance possible, the one who made the repentance possible, the one who created the concept of repentance. That's the meaning of At-Tawwab. That's the first meaning. Out of his generosity and kindness, he made repentance available to us and inform us about it. In Surah Ash-Shura, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed us that he is the one who forgives people, and he is the one who forgives you, and he's the one who knows what you do, and he forgives you. He accepts your repentance. He forgives your sins, and he knows what you do. So, in other words, he knows exactly your intentions. He knows your thoughts before they even become your thoughts. He knew about them before. Okay? So there is no confusion. He's not confused about, is it a good deed or a bad deed? No, he knows exactly what it is. And for if it's a bad deed, then he's forgiveness and tawbah. Tawbah. Tawwab. Okay? That's the first meaning of the word tawwab. Of the name itself. The second meaning is that the one we repent to. You repent to who? To Allah. So this is the one who we repent to. We repent to Allah. The one we seek repentance from. That's the second meaning of the new word, name At-Tawwab. At-Tawwab, the one who accepts repentance. He could turn us down and reject repentance, but out of his kindness and generosity, he is accepting our repentance. He's accepting our repentance. Okay? Now, the fourth meaning is the one who helps us maintain our repentance. Because you can repent today and then quit repentance tomorrow. You can lose your repentance. But when you repent, Allah helps you keep your repentance. It's a help from Him. You might quit. But Allah usually is helping people who repent to maintain their repentance. And also the fifth meaning, the one who keeps accepting our repentance over and over again. So you repent from smoking today, okay, and say I repent. 2 days later, you smoke again. Then you repent. Allah accepts your first repentance and then accepts your second repentance. And then you smoke again after a few days. And you repent, Allah will accept your repentance. You do it again and repent, Allah will accept your repentance. Allah will never stop accepting repentance until you stop repenting. Then he's not going to, then there's no repentance. But Allah will never turn down someone who's repenting. But there are conditions for the repentance. What are the conditions of repentance? Before we do that, let's see what happens to the bad deeds when you make repentance. In Surah Hud, Allah says, I take away your good deeds. He said, good deeds erase bad deeds. So he said, do good deeds and they would erase your bad deeds. And the good deeds comes as 10. So each one good deed can erase 10 bad deeds. Or one merit can erase 10 demerits, if we want to go to get counted by merit and demerit, okay? But that's what it is. Now, in the second ayah that we talked about last time, that Allah, for those who repent, Allah will replace their bad deeds with good deeds. So, and instead of negative one, it becomes plus one, okay? So instead of negative deed, becomes a good deed, positive deed. Okay? That's what happened to the sins when the person repents. But what are the conditions of repentance? Number one, sincere regret. It's not like something you really feel sorry that you did it. You really feel sorry. That's the condition number one. Second is to intend sincerely you're not going to do it again. You might make the mistake again, but your intentions at the time of the repentance must be that I'm not going to do it again, Allah. I'm not going to do it again. Now, and Allah, of course, knows the hearts. So if you say, I'm not going to do it again, but you plan to do it again, then Allah will see that in your heart and your repentance is rejected. But you need to intend sincerely, I'm not going to do it again. Ask for forgiveness by making istighfar. Astaghfirullah, 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 astaghfirullah. Ask for istighfar. And there is act of correction is required. If you stole something, then you return it, the money to the person. Let's say the person does not exist anymore. He died, he moved away, he did something. You can't return the money to the person. You give it, get rid of it by paying it in a charity. Give it in a charity. Give it some feed poor people, build hospitals, whatever it is that you can do. Give the money to a charity. Don't keep it if it's theft. If it's wronging a person, like backbiting a person, cursing a person, or slander a person, then you seek his or her forgiveness. What if you can't get hold of this person? Then make dua for Allah. Say, Ya Allah, forgive his sins or her sins. Ya Allah, bless them, bless their families. You make dua for them so that this, if you find the person to seek forgiveness. If it is murder, at least pay the blood money. The blood money is usually 100 camels. If you kill somebody with a mistake, it's 100 camels. So at least pay the blood money if you can afford it. If riba, interest, you get rid of the earnings and keep the original capital. So for example, if you loan somebody 100, he pays you back 110. That riba is $10. You get rid of it. You keep only the 100. Keep the original capital. And you get rid of the extra riba, $10. You give it away. Either you return it back to the person who paid it, or you give it away in charity if you can't get hold of that person. Important. Repentance is a U-turn. Like U-turn. And in order to have a real U-turn, you need to make sure these conditions are fulfilled. Okay. Question, if Allah dislikes a person, would he guide that person to repentance? No. Why? If Allah looks down to the heart of a person, Allah will see that that person is really bad. He knows if the person deserves repentance or not. But truly, if a person fulfills these four conditions, then his repentance is a sincere repentance. Okay? But if Allah knows that this person is a bad person, usually it's not sincere. So these conditions are not satisfied. Or shaitan, or the person is not, or the person is not interested into repentance, like the shaitan. We just don't want to go to Jannah. He's just not interested into repentance, not interested into going to Jannah. He knows that he's going to hell and he's accepting that. So Allah, when we talk about repentance, we think about two adults that care and love us, who Allah dedicated for each one of us two adults to take care of him or her needs. Okay? They are the parents. Why their parents are related in the subject of tawab? Because parents are tawab. Parents do correct their children's mistakes to help them to repent. Okay? So it's very important that repentance starts from the home. When you, inshallah, have children, you repent, make your children repent by punishing them, advising them, correcting them, coaching them, punishing them, whatever it takes. What happens if a parent does not punish the child for mistakes? The child would keep doing wrong and would not stop. Wrong, worse, 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 until you become so bad that it's really difficult to climb back. Because mistakes is like sliding down, slippery, sliding down. Correction is going up. So when you go down, the more down you go, the harder up it takes. So you go deep down, it becomes hard to get up. Okay? So if you keep doing the mistakes and the child give the mistakes, then it goes up. Also, there is a story about a thief boy. He was caught. Actually, he was a man at that time. He was caught stealing and he was sentenced that his hand is going to be cut off. So he said, "I want my mother first." They said, "Why?" He said, "Because my mother's tongue should be cut before my hand, because she was encouraging him to steal." He said, "When I stole the first time, she was happy." He saw the first time I stole an egg. She was very happy. And she took the egg and she greeted me. She said, "Yeah, my son is a man now. He's bringing stuff and things like that." So he grew up stealing because of this. And then he said, "My mother's tongue should be cut first before my hand." So there is a story about Prophet Musa when he asked to see Allah. Allah wanted to make him repent, because that request is ignorant request. If it's coming from me or you, then we're people. But if it's coming from a prophet should have known better than that. So Allah said, "Look at the mountain. If the mountain stands, then you can see me. Otherwise, you won't, because I'm going to show myself to the mountain." Of course, the mountain crumbled. So Musa was shocked and he like lost consciousness. He became, he was shocked and he passed out. Then when he became awake again, he asked Allah for forgiveness. He said, "Ya Allah, Subhanak, praise, glory be to you. I seek repentance. I seek repentance. And I am among the believers, And I'm in the head, I'm on the front line of believers," in other words. So Allah told him, "Ya Musa, I have chosen you and I've given you the ability to talk to me directly. Nobody else got it. So take whatever I have given you and be thankful." Okay? So that's one way. That's the way Allah made Prophet Musa repent. In Surah As-Sajdah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explicitly saying that we punish people in this life. Their punishment in this life is called the lower punishment. And then the punishment in the next life is called the bigger punishment. So Allah is saying that I am going to make them, give them the lower punishment, okay, before they get to the time of the higher punishment, so they might repent and correct themselves. Now, that leads us to a question. Is the punishment by Allah in this life is truly a punishment, or is it a taste of punishment? No, it is a taste of punishment. The real punishment in the hereafter. Okay? The punishment in this life is a taste of punishment so that the person will wake up and correct. Otherwise, the second punishment will happen to this person when he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, how about, that brings the other question, how about the reward? Is it a real reward in this life? Or what is it? No, it is a taste of reward. The real reward is Jannah. It is just a taste of reward. It is to encourage you to do good deeds, just to encourage people, because Allah wants to encourage people, good people, to do good things. So you get a taste of reward in this life. So a taste of punishment or a taste of reward. Okay, the real punishment is hellfire. The real reward is Jannah. Okay, now pay attention to this metaphor here. If there is a teacher, and this teacher comes at the beginning of the year, and then he gives the students, he gives them the textbook, and then he gives them the syllabus. And then he says, okay, you're going to have to read this book, okay? And I'm going to test you at the end of the year, okay? So now the teacher, every time is explaining. And then at the very end, he give them a test, okay? The people who are not doing their job, they're going to get an F. So this teacher is a fair teacher because he provided the instructions, he explained everything, and he's a fair teacher. Nobody can blame that teacher. But he's not a tawwab teacher. A tawwab teacher is like the name of Allah, tawwab. He's not a tawwab teacher. Why? Because the tawwab teacher will check on you periodically, like every week. Did you do your work? No. Then he calls the parents. Then the next time, detention. The third time, he is not going to let you get away without warnings and punishments, so that at the end of the year, you have much higher chance of passing, getting a good grade at the end of the year. So he's not like the first one. The first one is fair, but the second one is fair and tawwab. He keeps paying attention, following up with you to see where are you, what are you doing. Okay, it's not just giving you the stuff and then at the end of the year give you a test without caring about your progress in the middle. No, he's following up with you. You do good, he greets you. You do bad, he, you know, talks to the parents, detentions, punishments, all sorts of punishments to help you succeed at the end. It's good for you. And this is Allah is similar to a tawwab teacher, because Allah is tawwab God. Okay, he doesn't let you just go through it. No, he keeps hitting you. Taste of rewards, taste of punishments, taste of rewards, taste of punishments to encourage and discourage you, so that you have a much higher chance to pass and go to Jannah in the end. Okay, so there is a tawwab teacher and there is a fair teacher. Someone is making sense and Allah is not punishing this person, doesn't give him warning or this. Does that mean this person is good or bad? It means that Allah really doesn't like that person. Because if Allah doesn't like the person, then the person is not going to be guided to make tawbah to Allah. Allah is not going to guide him. And Allah most likely, very likely, that he's not going to even punish him, because he's a closed case. You know, he's like hopeless case, okay? But Allah may also choose to punish wrongdoers in this life and continue to punish them in hell. So he punishes them in this life, taste of punishments in this life, and they stay bad. They get all these punishments and they continue to be bad. So they go to the hell at the end and go to the bigger punishment, which is hell. Okay? So wrongdoers could be punished in this life, may be punished in this life, and might not be punished in this life. Okay? Depends on the way Allah sees the wise scenario should be what. Allah decides about the wise scenario. And the good people, they may be rewarded in this life and they might not receive rewards in this life. So it's not a rule. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides about the wisest scenario, the wisest scenario for a certain incidence or certain case. Okay, so punishment to bad people. What could be these small little punishments to wake up? To give bad spouse, a nagging wife, a nagging husband. You know, a spouse can make the life of his husband or wife hell. You know, bugging, fighting, giving you a bad spouse is really, really, really a bad punishment. Trouble making kids. I hope you're not among them. If you attend the school, then you're not. Loss of wealth. You lose your money in the stock market. You lose your money. Somebody steals your money. Your money is destroyed in fire. Car destroyed. Property destroyed. Accidents, fires, no insurance. You get diseases, car accidents, traffic tickets, flunk a class, or death to dear ones. You know, you can lose a child for doing a bad deed. Allah could punish you by making you lose your child. Or like Allah will take away your child. There was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the a believer is deprived from wealth because of sins. So in the book, in the initial book, this believer was assigned $10,000. Because he made a sin, this $1,000 will change to zero in the final book. Okay? Will change to zero. Why is he deprived of this $1,000? Because he made a sin. So doing good deeds increases the wealth, generally speaking. It's not always the case, but generally speaking, it helps you increase your wealth, increase your health. The Prophet ﷺ said, treat your diseases using charity. So how is that? He said, when you have a sickness, give a lot of charity and Allah is going to help you get rid of your disease. There is a disobedient man from the children of Israel who used to say to Allah, Ya Allah, how many times I've been disobeying you and you didn't punish me? So Allah sent a message to the Prophet that was alive at this time to go and tell my slave, I punish you so much, but you have no idea. You have no idea. Why? Because, for example, you lose money. Okay, if you're not a believer, you will not link this to a sin. The believer, as the Prophet said, the believer is always thinking, if something bad happens, what did I do wrong? Maybe I wasn't keeping up with my prayers. Maybe because I did this wrong thing or that wrong thing. So that helps the believer repent. But the non-believer is like a camel. That's what the Prophet said. It's like a camel. You tie the camel. You untie the camel. The camel has no idea why was he tied and why was he untied. He just have no idea, basically. He gets sick and recovers from his sickness without learning. When you get sickness, you start thinking, what did I do wrong? What did I do wrong? And that's the mentality of a believer. He's always do that. And because when you would think about it and you correct the thing that you did wrong, Allah removes the punishment from you. So basically, the guy didn't know that because he disobeyed Allah, he lost $1,000. Because he disobeyed Allah, he lost his job. Because he disobeyed Allah, he got sick. He doesn't see it that way. He doesn't know that if he wouldn't disobey Allah, he would have not lost the money. He would have not got sick. Okay? He doesn't make the connection. Okay? He didn't realize, he didn't know what would have happened to him if he did not make the sin. He didn't know that. So that's why he said, Ya Allah, you don't punish me. No, you don't know that you've been punished. You've been punished, but you're not aware. of it. Why? Because you're not, you don't have the mentality of the believer linking sense to punishments. Now, how about bad things happening, like sickness, death, and things like that? They classify under two categories. Is the either to raise your ranks and make you better. Allah loves you, so He wants to raise your rank and make you better. Or Allah doesn't like you and He wants to punish you. How can you tell which one's which? If something bad happens to you, how can you tell? Is it a test from Allah to make me a better person, to raise my ranks? The Prophet ﷺ said, some people, Allah wants to rank them higher than their deeds. So their deeds bring them, let's say, to rank number 10. Allah loves them and He wants them to be like rank number 15. So Allah will give them hardships and make bad things happen to them. With their patience, their rank is raised from 10 to 15 because of patience. Okay, so that's a good thing. That's a good thing. It's a bad thing happening, but it's the intended by Allah to raise your rank. But if you see what happens after the bad thing happens, after the bad thing happened to you, you see if you're going to be a better person, then it is intended to make you a better person and raise your rank. But if it makes you a worse person, then it is intended as a punishment. So, example, if we use the metaphor that if you are seventh grader and Allah wants to give you a test to raise your ranks. So Allah will give you a test of eighth grade. So when you struggle and go through the test, your level of faith goes from seventh to eighth. And then Allah might give you another test, takes you to ninth. And then another test takes you to 10th. And gradually, Allah raises your ranks. But if you are a seventh grader and Allah gives you a high school graduation exam or SAT, then Allah definitely wants to punish you because it's going to make you worse. It's just going to make you cannot stand the test for high school graduation, grade 12. You can't. So for sure there's a punishment because Allah is intending to give you something much higher than what you can bear. Okay, so that's a punishment. This is how can you tell whether the harmful things is intended as a blessing or as a curse. COVID-19 is considered to be a blessing for some people and curse for other people. It depends on your situation. So it's a punishment to the entire humanity. Okay. For some people, it would be good for them because it will raise their ranks. The victims, okay? The victims, the wrongdoers and the victims both get corona. Okay? The virus does not differentiate between a guilty person and an innocent person, or a victim or aggressor. Okay? But the victims, when they get corona, it becomes good for them. It's a blessing for them because Allah raises their ranks, okay? And when you die because of corona, you're a shaheed, you're a martyr, okay? But for the bad people, it's a punishment. Economy shut down, hardship, loss of freedom. You cannot travel, you cannot go here, you cannot go there, you know? It's a punishment. For some people, it's a blessing. For other people, it's a punishment. For the victim, it's a blessing. For the wrongdoers, it's a punishment. Okay? There was the Battle of Uhud. Pay attention. I'm going to show you a video about this thing. In the Battle of Uhud, the Muslims were fighting against the Arab, the pagans. the pagans, the Arab lords, the idol worshiper, upper Arab lords, they were refusing to believe in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they were giving him a hard time. So he traveled, he immigrated to Medina, they fought the first war of Badr, and then they came back to revenge for Badr because Muslims won the first battle of Badr. So they want to come back and avenge the dead people in Badr. So they came back to fight in the Battle of Uhud, the second battle. And this is how this is the mountain Uhud right there. And this is a water stream. Now, Muslims, their back was to the mountain, so nobody can attack them from behind. And to prevent people from coming around and attacking Muslims from behind, the Prophet placed 50 archers here. Any soldier, any bad guy tries to cross here, and attack the Muslims from behind, the archers sitting on this mountain would shower them with arrows. So the battalion of Khalid ibn al-Walid tried to do it once. They got showered with arrows, so they went back. Now, the Muslims won the first round, and the Arab lords, the Bacons, ran away and left their belongings. So the archers, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told the archers, you stay on the mountain and you do not leave until I send you someone to say, now you can leave. Do not leave. So once the round number one ended, the bad guys are running away, leaving behind their stuff. The archers got greedy. So 47 out of them ran to collect the spoils of the war. The other three told them no, but they didn't listen. Okay? So what happened is that Khalid ibn al-Walid, he was a military genius. He's a genius military general. Noticed that. So now he was able, three archers could not stop them, the battalion. So he was able to attack Muslims from behind and slaughter them and win round number two. I'll show you the video here. Now let me show you the other video. Here the non-believers are defeated and they are running away. And this woman is the wife of the chief of Mecca. She's trying to push them back to go fight. They are running away and she's yelling at them to go back and fight. Muslims won round number one. Here are the archers. Now the Prophet said, do not leave until I send somebody to you to say you can leave. Now look what they did.
This is our moment of victory. They're running away from us. Let's get the loot.
Stand where you are told to stand.
Now, this is Khalid ibn al-Walid, which is the military genius, okay? And he is observing with his battalion from the back, looking. He tried to cross, but the archers stopped them with the first time they tried. And they kept trying, the archers stopped them. Now, look.
It's a rout. Our center is gone. We've lost the battle, Khalid.
Not yet.
Oh,
Here they are. The archers here could not stop them. There are barely three archers left. And 47 went away. Only three archers stayed. And the rest of the 50 left to collect the spoils. And they could not stop him. So he was able to cross. See what happened? You see what happened when they disobeyed the prophet? And there is another video about the same thing. This is the wife of the chief. She's trying to push them back to fight. They are running away. And this is the chief. He's trying to retreat. Now look what the archers would do.
La tabrahu makanakum. La tabrahu makanakum.
They started collecting the spoils of war and they put down their swords. Now Khalid bin Walid, the military genius, observes the war. Now the chief have noticed that what is happening. So he's going to stop the army and attack back. And the chief directed them to go back and fight. So this is what happened. And the Muslims lost round number two because of that. Okay. So now the question is, Allah likes believers and dislikes the bad Arab lords, the idol worshippers. Now, Allah made the disbelievers win and the believers lose. Why? Allah doesn't care about the disbelievers. Allah is not teaching them a lesson. He's teaching a lesson to the believers. If they are not punished, then the message would be that you can succeed even if we disobey the Prophet. We can succeed. And that's a dangerous message. So Allah did not want this message. Allah wanted to make them clear that because they have disobeyed the Prophet, you got this punishment. Okay? And the Prophet was injured really bad. And he lost his teeth. He had so many injuries because of this war. Okay? Now, to reinforce this, Allah in the Quran revealed in Surah Al-Imran, the family of Imran, 3:152, Surah 3, Ayah 152, that Allah gave you what victory that He promised you. But some of you were after this life, the pleasures of this life. Some of you was after materialism or after money. Okay? So they left their position. They went to collect the spoils. Okay? And this is when you were punished. So it is because of your wrongdoings you were punished. Okay? So they got the message clearly that it's because of their mistake. And that brings us to a second question. Is the punishment of Allah falls only on the wrongdoers or falls on everybody? In verse Surah Al-Anfal, the spoils of war, it's called Surah Al-Anfal. Surah 8, Ayah 25, Allah says that the punishment is going to cover everybody without any distinction. Without any distinction between the good and the bad. The punishment is going to be for everybody. Everybody would be punished. It's not only the ones who did the wrong. Everybody is punished. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave a very good metaphor to explain that. He said, the example of the people who make mistakes and the good people who don't make mistakes is like an example of a ship. And some people are living on the lower floor and the other people are living on the upper floor of the ship. And the ship is sailing. Now, the people on the bottom floor, if they want to get water, they have to go up and pick up water, fetch water, and then go down again. So they said, okay, what if we dig a hole at the bottom of the boat so that we can bring water right away? We have access to the water. We don't have to go upstairs and get water. The Prophet, of course, digging a hole in the boat means the boat is going to sink. But they are idiots, wrongdoers. They are not thinking about the consequences. Anyway, what happened is that the Prophet said that if the people on the top floor does not stop them, everybody will sink. The good and the bad, everybody will sink. The wrongdoers and the righteous, everybody will sink. Okay? But if the good ones, if the good people on the top floor stopped them, then everybody would be saved. So the good people have the task of stopping the bad people so that everybody's saved, rather than letting the good people, letting the bad people, wrongdoers do what they do. And in this case, everybody will sink. There's also another story about the I forgot what was the story about. Okay. Does Allah give you time to repent on your own before punishing you? Yes. Remember the story of the bird who used to steal meat? Allah created him, this bird, Allah created this bird not to steal meat, but to hunt for meat, for food, meat. But that bird disobeyed the nature that Allah created, and he started stealing meat. So one time he stole meat. There was a charcoal stuck with the meat. It was lit on fire. He dropped the meat to his kids, the little birds, the children, and the nest. The charcoal burned the entire nest and all the children died. So he went crying to Prophet Sulaiman and he said, well, didn't you say that Allah gives us a chance to repent before punishing you? He said, yes, I know that. That's true. He said, then look at my story. And he told him the story. He said, regarding you, Allah gives you, waits on you, that's a fact. But regarding your story, I don't have the whole picture. You just give me that video clip from stealing the meat to burning the nest. I don't know what happens before, and I don't know what will happen after. So Allah revealed to Prophet Sulaiman, go tell the bird that the punishment of burning the nest and burning the children, this is for a sin that was done long time ago. The sin of stealing the meat at that time still will come later if he doesn't repent. Okay. So Allah gives us a chance to repent before give us the punishment. The Prophet Yunus, we know his story. He resigned. Allah sent him to be a prophet for the town and they gave him a hard time as usual. They didn't want to listen to him. They really torture him. They did every bad thing you can imagine to reject him and reject his message. So he got angry and he left them and he left the town. He was not authorized by Allah to do so. Prophets cannot do their own choices that much. They have to wait for the permission from Allah. So he just didn't care about the permission. Oh, there is a problem with the internet connection, I guess. So let's try to fix that.